Hey there, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Bible in Life podcast. My name is John Whitaker, and I am the host and creator of the Bible in Life. And if this is the first time we are meeting, I am glad you're joining us on this particular episode of the podcast. And my history, my background is as been a Bible college professor as well as a pastor. And in all my preaching and teaching of the scriptures, whether it's at the college level or whether it's on a sermon on a Sunday morning or wherever else, my aim is to teach the scriptures in such a way that we not only grasp what it's really saying, but then can reflect on and think through the implications of what it's all about so that we can actually learn it and live it out in our everyday life. And that's really the same aim we have here on the Bible and Life podcast. So, welcome. So glad you are joining me on this episode. Last week, we started a brand new kind of little series where I'm just pulling some excerpts out of Paul's letter to the Colossians and just offering some sort of reflections and meditations on various verses and phrases out of Colossians. So if you want all the exegetical details, all the background to Colossians, I recommend you go to the listener's commentary, either on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts, or at the website, listenerscommentary.com. And it's on the listener's commentary, I just teach straight through Bible books. Almost done with the Gospel of Matthew, and that'll make book number 22, only five more to go after that. So got Colossians done over there. It's a handful of hours just teaching straight through the letter to the Colossians with all the details, all the background, and all of that. But on this series, I'm not really going into, there'll be some of that. There has to be because we have to understand what's being said. But I'm going to approach it more reflectively and more like kind of meditations on Paul's letter to the Colossians. And in this episode, we are going to reflect on Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Just two short verses, and yet they're really power-packed for us just to think about as we think about what it means to have become a Christian. What's happened to us since we've become a Christian? What's different about us now that we're a Christian? And what's really going on in this world? And the nature of evil in this world, as well as what Jesus actually came to offer. All of that shows up in these two short little verses in Colossians chapter 1. So let me read verses 13 and 14 from Colossians 1 to us. It says this, for, notice that little for, typically when you see that, that's, you know, some sort of connection, like he's expanding or explaining or amplifying what he just said. And so he's amplifying the previous verse about how God qualified us to participate in the kingdom of light, the light and the inheritance of light that the saints, God's people, get to enjoy. So he's qualifying that, explaining that, amplifying that. And he says, for he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, let's just make a couple observations by way of reflection. First thing that strikes me as I kind of reflectively meditate on and pray through this text is, who is doing the acting, right? Who's the actor, the primary actor that's bringing about these things that this text talks about? And notice, it's what God did. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And it's in his Son that we have now received redemption and forgiveness of sins. These are things that are done for us by somebody else. And it's what God did. And that's just so important for us to remember that the life we now have in Christ and the position we now have in Christ, according to this text, the freedoms we now have in Christ, we'll talk more about that, but the freedom we now have in Christ, all of that is God's work. And we are the recipients of this. We are the benefits of what God has done for this world, for his people, on our behalf. It's what God did. And what did he do? Well, he rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Notice those two phrases, dominion of darkness and kingdom of his Son. Think dominion, think kingdom. When you picture a dominion or a kingdom, what comes to mind? What are we thinking of? In fact, the word translated dominion most often in the New Testament is translated authority. It refers to powers and authority. Somebody or something that's in charge and has authority over another. This is the dominion of darkness. This is the kingdom where there's a new king in charge, a new emperor. In Paul's world, that was who was supposed to be in charge, the emperor, and he ruled from Rome, right? But there's a new empire with a new king who's in charge, the kingdom of his Son. So we have a dominion of darkness and kingdom of his Son. What we're talking about are two different realms, if you will, where certain powers are in charge, where they have authority, where they rule and they reign. And this language, when it says he rescued us from the dominion of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, what we're talking about then means that becoming a Christian is leaving one kingdom and entering into another. It's like moving or relocating to a whole new kingdom, to a whole new nation, to a whole new empire with new powers, new rules, new ways of operating, new culture and all that. We are leaving one nation, one empire, one realm, and we're moving to another one. And I don't know if you've thought about your conversion to Christ in those regards, but that's the way Paul pictures it here for us, is that we are leaving one kingdom and entering another. And notice, we're doing that effectively as a rescue operation. Look what he says. For he, that is God, God the Father, who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, verse 12, right? He, God, rescued us. He rescued us. Like we were entrapped. We were in bondage. We were suffering oppression in this kingdom called the dominion of darkness. And God intervened to deliver us from that, to rescue us out of that. And then when he rescued us from that, he had a new realm, a new kingdom to take us safely to. And the place he took us safely to is the kingdom of his beloved Son. He transferred us. He moved us. He did it. He moved us out of there. And so it was a search and rescue operation where we were enslaved, entrapped, oppressed in the dominion of darkness. And God rescued us out of that, delivered us from that, and moved us safely to a brand new place, a brand new kingdom where Jesus is now king, where he's in charge, and his ways, his value, his approach to life, his culture now rules supreme. And I just think that's so important for us to picture our conversion that way. And notice, I think we also need to reflect on this idea of darkness, like the dominion of darkness. Paul describes like the way of life, the manner of life of the fallen pagan world around the people of his day and around us frequently this sort of way. Look what he says in Ephesians, which was written at the same time as Colossians. So there's some overlap in themes. And this is what he says to the Ephesians. He urges the Ephesians to don't walk any longer the way the Gentiles walk. That is the way the nations around you walk, the peoples around you walk. And then he says this, they walk in the futility of their minds, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them. They're dark, they can't see, they're ignorant of the proper way to do life, so they're cut off from the life of God. And he even says that because their heart is hard, they're hard towards God, they become callous, and so they've given themselves up to all sorts of indecent behavior. That is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. And it helps us get more of a sense of what Paul is talking about, that the nations, the world around us, the culture around us, in its fallenness and in its flight from God, is a realm that is ruled by darkness. And so there's callousness there, there's ignorance there, there's the inability to think straight and see straight there. And so our minds are full of futile speculations and we can't sort it all out. That's the dominion of darkness. Paul, when he was commissioned to ministry at his conversion, describes it this way. Acts chapter 26, 18, Paul is sharing his testimony before the emperor or the king Agrippa in Caesarea, and he says this. He says he was commissioned by God to open their eyes so that they might turn from darkness to light. And then he explains it a little bit more, amplifies it for us, and from the power of Satan to God himself, so that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. It's interesting to me that there in Acts 26, verse 18 that I just read, several of the same ideas show up there in Paul's commission to ministry that show up here in Colossians chapter 1, 12, 13, and 14. You have inheritance. You have being set apart or sanctified, which is the same root word as the word saints. In verse 12, you have darkness, and you have this idea of power or authority. And here he qualifies this darkness as the power of Satan, that the one who it rules in the darkness and who brings this darkness its authority is Satan himself. So God rescued us from that, he says here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. He rescued us from this dominion where darkness had sway and where life was hard and confusing and broken and there was ignorance and futile speculations and bad ideas about life. We were rescued out of that. And we moved safely with the help of God into a new realm, a new kingdom where Jesus is in charge and where his way reigns. And if you recall from the Gospels, right, Jesus shows up on the scene announcing that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that in and through his ministry and his life, now God's kingdom has come. And so we who are in Christ are in that kingdom. That Jesus is a king, if you will. He's a ruler. The word translated king is the same word for emperor in the New Testament. He's the emperor, the new emperor. Like Caesar thinks he's in charge, but there's a new king on planet Earth, and his name is Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. In fact, the word Christ, don't forget, isn't like a last name. It's a title. It means anointed one, anointed as king. It's the Greek version of the Hebrew Messiah. He's been anointed as king and he's in charge. And really, according to New Testament theology, Jesus is the only one who really is in charge in this world. His kingdom is the final ultimate kingdom. He reigns from heaven's throne. He's over all the nations of the world. And any other ruler in this world only rules under him and rules under him temporarily. Like you may think you're a king, but you're not. Jesus really is king, and he's allowing you currently to have whatever power you have. And so we know that there are all these kind of like rebel kings and rebel kingdoms who don't submit to the authority of King Jesus. And so we long to see Jesus come fully and completely as it's already been inaugurated and come partially. We long for the day when the kingdoms of this world will have become the kingdoms of the Messiah, and he will be Lord of all. We long for that, and we pray for that as Jesus taught us, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our heart's deepest desire. We know Jesus, the good king, and we've entered into his kingdom, and we want to see his kingdom expand and grow because we know that his ways are the best ways for the earth and for the world and for human flourishing, and we long to see his culture and his ways pervade the whole earth. And so we wait and we pray and we watch and we long for his kingdom to come fully and completely. Another little thing that really flows out of that here in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It's really verse 14 where he says, in whom, that is, in God's beloved Son, in Jesus, we have redemption. That word redemption really captures this idea of being liberated, being set free. So remember, this is a rescue operation, and God delivered us and rescued us out of the authority and the control and the dominion where darkness prevailed, brought us into His Son. So now we've been liberated, and that's the idea of redemption. We have to remember that, that the basic idea of redemption is to set free, to liberate, usually at some sort of great cost. It could refer to being liberated from slavery in the first century world. It was used of Israel's liberation from Egypt, right? They were delivered out of the dominion of Egypt and into the kingdom of God as His nation, Israel, to be a kingdom of priests in this world, right? They were redeemed out of that. That's the idea of redemption. And so we have been redeemed. We've experienced redemption in Jesus. And then He kind of amplifies, explains redemption with this phrase. It's translated this way, the forgiveness of sins. And that's true, but that's only partially true, I think. The particular word that's translated forgiveness here typically has the idea of release. It often carries that sense of release. In some contexts, it even communicates like the idea of release from captivity. And because of the context here, as I reflect on this passage, that's kind of what I'm thinking Paul's really intending to communicate, the release from our sins. We know that Paul believed sin because of some of the other places he writes about this, like Romans chapter 6, for example. We know that Paul believed sin operates in this world like a master, a power, a boss, somebody in charge. And Paul pictures it that way. It's like a slave master in Romans chapter 6 and says, we've been released from that. We've been delivered from that. And sin is no longer our slave master. He's the one that's no longer in charge. And we don't have to do what he says anymore. That's Paul's point in Romans chapter 6. And that, therefore, is probably, in view of the context here, the same idea that we have liberation from the power of and penalty of sin. That's the idea. We've been released from our captivity to darkness and sin, and now we've entered into the kingdom of Jesus where light prevails and where holiness prevails and where what's right and good for our own life and for human flourishing prevails. We've been released out from the power of sin, and we are now free, free to live the way we were meant to live, as sons and daughters of God in His kingdom. And that is really a beautiful picture for us to reflect on and meditate on. And so these two verses, though short, they are power-packed with this great truth for us that we have been rescued by God, and we are no longer under the dominion of sin and darkness, but we have entered into the kingdom of Jesus, and now light and life and uprightness and goodness and righteousness prevails for us. What good news that is. And so I pray that encourages you today and this week as you meditate on it yourself. May God bless you. May He continue to lead you in His ways as you seek and serve Him.